Hey there, Michael.
Hello, sir.
How are you today?
I am fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing okay.
Good.
So, where we last left off, I'm assuming that the Microsoft discussing the Microsoft post that show will come before this one.
Right. Yes, we'll just release them in the order we recorded them.
Good, okay. Because, so where we last left off, for those following along this exciting episodic adventure, was me discussing how Microsoft's biggest miss, the post I wrote about basically the conversation I had with my wife, where my wife identified what she felt was Microsoft's biggest miss and failing. And it was completely her idea. And I want that to go on record as much as possible. Very popular post, perhaps, it's certainly up until the time I wrote it, was the most popular post ever on Minimal Mac, at least as far as just hardcore traffic is concerned. Fireball, slash dotted, Hacker News, boom, 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 and it just got decimated. And much to Tumblr's credit,
survived
and very fast to load, right? Even when it was at its most pressured, it was loading fast, which I was very impressed by. That was until I wrote the other kind of conversations that happened with my daughter and television for the site. And that post is titled TV is Broken. Just a basic synopsis of the post. We don't have standard television at home. We don't subscribe to cable TV. Single kind of standard television that we have is a big 32-inch, 15-year-old CRT model that we keep up here in our third-floor office den, not really den, loft sort of area. Since we don't have cable TV, all we have hooked up to it is a DVD player. And originally we had that up here with the DVD player kind of plugged in so that we could play some fun DVDs for Beatrix to watch. And, when she was real little, maybe 1 year old or whatever, and, things that would kind of hold her interest a little bit while we were up here. What we watch is we have an iMac, a 20-inch iMac that's like 3 or 4 generations old now. And that is effectively our, that's our media center device. I have all of our music on there. I have all of our, all the movies that we own ripped on there. I have when we get DVDs from Netflix, we watch them on there. When we stream things from Netflix, we watch it on there. And that constitutes most of our stuff. And Beatrix almost exclusively watches shows streamed through Netflix or delivered via DVD through Netflix. And so kind of television in the way that many of us have grown up with it is a completely foreign thing to her. And it didn't become so striking to me and really occur to me until we went to New Orleans on vacation and to visit family. We stayed at my sister's house. And my sister was kind enough to let us use her house while she kind of vacated elsewhere for the week. And she just recently purchased this great big, huge, it's the size of like a small planet. I think it's actually was one of the Death Star's targets before they found that Luke and Leia were not actually there. But I mean, it's just this huge TV. And she got DirecTV very recently. So I don't know, something like 7,000 channels on this thing. I wouldn't know. I don't watch TV. But, you know, it just so. We didn't even bother turning it on until. Because we just don't watch TV, like I said. Until one day, it rained pretty heavily. We were on our way to a parade. We were walking there. It was close by. And on the rain, torrential downpour started and rained us out. And we turned around and said, okay, we're not going to spend all night out at a parade getting, you know, drenched. So we headed back home. Here we are, soaking head to toe. Beatrix is tremendously disappointed because we're going to miss the parade. And so it's like, okay, what can we do to make it up to you, honey, and entertain you? I know. Why don't we see what's on TV? Let's find something on TV. So I turn on this big thing, and, you know, after putting on my sunscreen, and, you know, turn on the DirecTV and figure out with the remote how to navigate the on-screen guide and find out what's wrong, what's on, and see that on one of the channels, Shrek is on. Perfect. Oh, great. You know, Shrek. She hasn't really seen it, and she loves it, and, you know, she's got some Shrek books, but it hasn't really seen the movie. This is going to be perfect. So I switched to Shrek. And Beatrix is happy for about 5 to 7 minutes, at which point a commercial comes on. Now, I haven't watched TV in a very long time, like traditional TV. And even I was shocked at the volume difference. I don't know if they do this in the UK, but here in the United States, they pump up the volume of commercials so unbelievably loud that I mean, it's practically deafening, right?
Some channels do increase it a bit, but not so much that you'd need to necessarily change the volume.
Yeah. Well, this sent me running for the remote and turning down the volume, and Beatrix thinks I've turned off her movie. Right? And she's like, "Why'd you turn the movie off?" And I said, "Well, honey, I didn't turn it off. This is a commercial, and the commercial was too loud." And she's like, "What's a commercial?" Oh, yeah, that's right. She's never seen a commercial. And so I explained to her kind of what a commercial is and why they have them. And she just doesn't get it. She's like, "But I want can we play the movie again?" No, because see, she's used to being able to push a button, you play the movie, hit another button, movie pauses. If you need to go and do something, go to the bathroom, whatever, come back, and you can play the movie again, right, where you picked up. And so she wasn't getting that this was not that, right? And I had to explain to her, no, you just kind of have to wait for it to come back on. And she's like, you know, so the commercial goes on for a little bit longer. She's like, "This is boring. I want Shrek." Yes, I know, honey. Don't worry. You just have to be patient. It'll come back on. And so then it comes back on another 7 to 10 minutes later. Poof, more commercials. And now we're having this conversation all over again. And so that's when it dawned on me that how different this is and how different it's going to be for her in the world that she is growing up in. To kind of understand this model, and hopefully by the time that she is a teenager, this, the way that it works for her currently, is the way that it will work with every device.
Right, yeah.
Right? And that I'm preparing her for the future. I'm not preparing her for the past. I'm not preparing her for the present, I'm preparing her for the future. And in the future, this is, you know, this is the way we watch shows. We go to a website and we select the show that we want and we press a button and the show plays without commercials. And we pay for that privilege, you know, on a monthly basis. You know, it's not one of these things where you pay for the privilege and you have to still watch commercials, like it works with cable TV. So the bottom line of it is that, you know, so we went through this and we didn't watch television again for the whole time we were here. And basically Beatrix thought this was just the lamest thing ever. So we get to the hotel after leaving. You know, we drive all day and get to a hotel. We're, you know, stay overnight at a hotel before continuing on back home. And we get there, and she's looking for something to do. And she asks, can I watch the TV? And I just didn't even think twice about it. I'm like, yeah, sure. So we turn it on. Turn it on, and there's a commercial on. And she's like, is this a show? No. This is a commercial. We got to wait for the show to come on. And so then promo for the Secret Life of Ariadne?
I have no idea what it was when you wrote it in the post.
Basically, it's this new animated film by the guy who did Ponyo and these other Japanese anime films.
Is that Miyazaki?
Yeah, that sounds about right. And this is the one that's based on the book The Borrowers. It looks really interesting. And so a commercial for that comes on, and she's like, oh, this, I want to watch this. Thinking that it was like with Netflix, where it's like, oh, this is something you can watch and press a button and boom, you're watching it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to once again explain to her that, no, this is a commercial. It's like previews before a film and that sort of thing. And basically kind of going through this thing again. And it was only then that it dawned on me that in Beatrix's mind, this was a different TV. And therefore, obviously should work differently than the one at my sister's place that was obviously broken. Right?
Yeah.
And hence the reason why I'm having to go through all of this and explain all of this again. Right?
That was because the boring TV.
This is the boring TV still, right? You know, she was thinking my sister's TV was the only boring TV in the world, right? But didn't understand that, no, they all work this way. And so finally, a show does come on and it's some teenage live action show. And so I turn it off and, you know, and do what I should have done in the first place, which is I fire up the iPad, you know, connect to the free hotel Wi-Fi, hand it over to her, and she immediately knows what to do. She launches the Netflix app, she chooses her show, and she starts watching. You know?
See, the interesting thing is, right, you are doing exactly what Netflix want you to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is all they want, and that's why there's such robust children's television on these mm-hmm. streaming services.
Mm-hmm.
And they probably put more money into children's television than they do anything else, right?
Probably.
Because then...
considering the selection.
Exactly, because then, that's it then. You're locked in. This is the way... I mean, Beatrix will never want to watch TV in any other way. Because throughout her life, these sort of systems and applications and whatever will only start to improve.
Right.
So it's going to get to the point where, you know, we may, as the dream goes, everything be totally a la carte, and we can, this is the only way that we watch TV. You know, this is what the people are thinking Apple are going to be able to do, is to cajole the networks into allowing them to do this, right?
Mm. Well, and I think that in Beatrix's mind, Netflix is synonymous with watching shows.
Yeah. Yep.
Right? Like, that's it. When she says, I want to watch a show, what she means is, can we bring up Netflix on the browser, or can I have the iPad so I can launch the Netflix app?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even to the point where she understands that Netflix is for shows and the videos app is for movies. Because, you know, I have a whole bunch of movies loaded into iTunes that synchronize with the video app, and I actually, you know, load up even more of those when we're going to go on a long car trip, so she's got plenty of choices. But she understands video icon equals movies, Netflix app icon equals shows.
Yeah.
She also understands that Netflix app icon requires internet connection. She may not really understand that it requires internet connection, but she understands that this doesn't work in the car.
Yeah, if she's not inside,
right.
The red one doesn't work, kind right. of deal. But the blue exactly. one is good to go.
The blue one is good to go. That she gets, yes. Yes. So for her, videos and iTunes synonymous with movies, Netflix synonymous with TV shows.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it, right? She doesn't know anything else. If I tried to tell her that, no, you know, there's these other apps that you could watch shows on, you know, that would be a whole completely, like, retraining experience for her. And you're right that that's exactly what Netflix wants, and that's exactly what Apple wants, right? In the same way that Apple has made for a lot of people iTunes synonymous with music.
I mean, even to a point, though, that this is how I like... This is how my TV experience is. So I don't watch live TV. I very, very rarely will watch anything as it's being shown on television. Mm-hmm. And will typically watch catch-up services or on-demand services. The four major networks... in the United Kingdom, they mm-hmm. all have free catch-up services where they have all of their programming for the last sort of 30 days available to watch online, and they have back catalogs too of some shows. And
so jealous.
And the BBC, this is without any advertisement at all, because it comes out by a license fee. So right. we pay every month, £12.50, and that pays for all the BBC stuff.
Wow.
You have to have a TV license, so it's not an option. So actually illegal to not pay for the BBC. But £12.50, it's worth it. Radio, everything. I think that's a pretty sweet deal, to be honest. But and then the other two. Two or three networks, they have advertisements, but the advertisements typically have two adverts at the start and maybe three, one or two advert breaks, unless it's a really big show, and they might put three adverts in there. And these are sort of the ones that repeat or whatever, but the actual amount of advertisement that, you know, that there is in these sort of shows compared to watching television, it's so much more bearable. So I hate to watch live shows. I mean, sometimes Sammy will be like, you know, there's a show that we'll watch and we're home, so let's watch it now. And I'm like, okay, but I'm thinking to myself, I would really prefer to just watch it, to just wait, because then I don't have to deal with all of the commercials and it's on our own terms.
Well, and I mean, the other thing too is that, like, oh, you can pause it and
exactly.
go get dinner or go, you know, do something else and come back and then start it up again, right?
And if there's a funny part or whatever, we can just rewind it and watch it again.
Yeah.
Or something somebody missed or whatever, you know. It's, I just prefer this way of watching television. And I think that there will be, you know, part of my generation that love it this way, but when it comes to your daughter's generation, it will be the only way that makes sense to them.
Yeah, I certainly hope so. I mean, because it's, I mean, the way that it works now, you don't really understand how completely backwards and broken it is until you do without it.
Yep.
Right? And that is, I think, the... bringing it back to, I don't know, the title of this show, Enough, you may have heard of it, is one of the reasons why it is important to do without and to separate yourself from certain things is so that you can get a better understanding of them, right? It's not to eradicate things just for the sake of eradicating. In a lot of cases, it's taking a sabbatical and stepping away from something so that you can better understand your approach to it, how it fits into your life, this sort of thing. And I think that this is one of those examples where by having stepped away from traditional TV for so long, because this is the same way it was when I grew up, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is, you know, all the TV I watched for, you know, 30-something years before I kind of, you know, went to my current system. And it certainly didn't bother me as much then. I didn't even think twice about it. This is just the way it worked and, you know, that sort of thing. But by stepping away from that, and really thinking about it and seeing other methods of going about doing this has really caused me to reform and rethink how I feel and what I, you know, and my approach to traditional TV. And, you know, that approach being that I hope I never have to be subjected to it again for any reason. And if given the option, I know which option I will take, which is not to turn it on in the first place. And to be honest with you, and this is a note to any television executives that may be listening, that will be certainly be Beatrix's option as well. She would rather not watch it at all. The time that she spent trying to watch Shrek was perhaps one of the most unbelievably frustrating experiences she's had in her life. Because it was one of the few things that we couldn't explain in a manner that made any amount of logic or sense.
Yeah.
Based on her reality. And so, you know, I think if anything, the important lesson to take away here is that that approach can work anywhere, right? That by, you know, going without your computer for a while could possibly give you new insight and make you a better consumer and better user of your computer, right? Going without your... You know, I don't know, you name it. Going without Microsoft Office for a while and using something else could make you better appreciate Microsoft Office, or could make you understand exactly why Office is such a piece of crap, right? I mean, yeah. Either way, it doesn't matter. The point is that that's the reason for doing it. The reason for doing it is to discover your approach, both good and bad, both benefit and lack thereof, and to reform and reframe that in a way that makes sense for you.
Makes sense.
So to wrap this up, we were talking at the end of last show about how this knocked it knocked the Microsoft post out of its very brief number one spot as far as most popular posts on the site.
Hmm.
And just to give you an idea, while we were, discussing before the show, God, I brought it up and now I can't find it. That post was about 6,000% over average per post traffic to the site.
Where was that coming from?
That was coming from a combination of number one on Hacker News and just being shared and tweeted and retweeted and everything else by everyone and their cousin. And just a huge amount of response from Hacker News. Like, believe it or not, more than the combined Fireball/ and Hacker News to the Microsoft Post.
And it's easy to underestimate Hacker News.
I don't think people quite understand how much traffic it can drive.
I just can't stand it.
Yeah, I don't get it either, but I think it's interesting. I find, I'm one of those people that's not all that concerned about traffic. I certainly keep track of the numbers, but I don't, it's just, I don't know. I don't put too much thought into it, but just to, when it explodes like it does, that's when I start paying attention. It's like, because I'm interested, right? I find it fascinating. More of a, it's less of a, ooh, that did really well. Let me modify my headline for the next post to make sure that it draws, the proper SEO and blah, blah, blah. Screw that. I write what I write and I post what I post. And if people read it, great. And if they don't, great. it really doesn't bother me one way or the other. But I do find it highly interesting when things do kind of go the way that they go, to find out why they go the way that they go.
Yeah.
So, in any case, I think we've beat that one to the ground. One more show, dead.
Finished. Done.
Finished. Done. So, all right. Well, any other, any 70 decibels news we need to cover? We probably are due for mentioning that if people like what they hear, to go and review us on iTunes, and or feel free to drop a comment to Mike through the 70 decibels comment page, and it will get to me if need be. And
that's 70decibels.com/contact, and they go directly to me, and I will answer any question you have, but if it's something that I feel that Pat should chime in on, then I will send it to him too.
Yep.
I'm like the gatekeeper. And
of course, donate.
Yeah.
To 70 Decibels Network.
If you like what you hear, and if you enjoy the shows and you want the shows to keep going, every donation really does help towards that, and it's going to help us make the shows a better quality. As well, if you donate now, you'll be getting in quick on some ideas that I have, which will make that whole process a lot more enjoyable for everybody that does donate.
Oh, there you go.
There you go.
And I believe that 5 pence of every donation goes to the UK Orphaned and Wayward Children Fund. That's
you can't claim a thing like that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Really?
No,
is that?
Yeah.
Is that
really? No. Because now now you're going to make me feel like I have to one, set up that foundation, and then two, start donating to them.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, folks, that was a complete lie. That was just really an effort to appeal to the to donate to the 70 Decibels Network.
Every penny is used wisely. Let's say that.
And of course, everyone should listen to all of the other shows on the 70 Decibels Network, because there are tons of great shows. Something there of interest for everybody. So if all you're doing is listening to enough, at least give, I don't know, one or two of the other shows a listen and a chance. I think you will be highly surprised at their quality, their breadth, and their entertainment.
If you like enough, I'll give you a couple of quick recommendations. You'll probably enjoy the 512 podcast. You'll probably enjoy Right for Your Life, and you'd probably enjoy The Pen Addict too. I think those shows probably have the broadest crossover for this listenership. So I think I would suggest start with those and then start branching out. In my opinion, they're all great.
Yeah, yeah. I also like Cooking With too. I think Cooking With is a fun show.
Thank you.
All right. Well, I think we've talked these people enough. I think we've talked them to death at this point. So we'll chat later, my friend.
We will. Cheers.
Cheers.